This module has been prepared by the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. The following content for this module was taken from the book, A Basic Guide to Exporting, a product of the U.S. Commercial Service. This module is created in cooperation with the U.S. Commercial Service and the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. To view the full text version of each slide, click the Slide Notes tab in the upper left-hand corner below the MSU Cyber logo. You may pause the presentation at any time by pressing the pause button below the slide. The glossary for this module is accessible via the glossary tab at the top right corner. This module was last modified on August 25th, 2017. This module will cover the following topics: a basic guide to exporting, export strategies, multiple markets, and a success story, Defeat International. Section 1, A Basic Guide to Exporting. Today, it's easier than ever for a company, regardless of size, to sell goods and services across the globe. Small and medium-sized companies in the United States are exporting more than ever before. In 2013, more than 300,000 small and medium-sized U.S. companies exported to at least one international market, nearly 28% more than in 2015. In 2013, the value of goods and services exports was an impressive $2.28 trillion, nearly a 25% increase since 2010. In 2014, topped the previous year with exports valued at $2.34 trillion. Global trade in goods and services is likely to grow in the future. The new World Trade Agreement on Trade Facilitated, that was introduced at the end of 2013 and renegotiated in 2014, will reportedly add $1 trillion to the global GDP, once it is fully implemented. This agreement compels the World Trade Organization members to improve customs procedures and cut regulatory red tape, speeding the flow of goods and services across borders and reducing the costs involved. The U.S. government will create a single window system that has some of the same benefits and efficiencies as the WTO effort. The United States is in an advanced state of negotiating trade agreements with the European Union and countries in the Asia-Pacific region, including the large market of Japan. Together, these markets represent 50% of the global GDP and 30% of global trade. These agreements, if ratified, will join agreements already in place, including the North American Free Trade Agreement and the Central America and Dominican Republic Free Trade Agreement. More than reducing the duties on imported goods by member countries and thus making these products cheaper for consumers, the agreements also generate additional business opportunities by strengthening intellectual property protections, simplifying regulations, opening up the service sectors and government contracting procedures, and generally treating foreign companies the same as domestic companies. If you have a web presence, you have a global marketing and order-taking platform. For a few more dollars, you can process credit card payments for buyers in Australia or translate key pages into Spanish and other languages to further your reach. During the next few years, worldwide B2C e-commerce is projected to nearly double to $2.2 trillion, with the fastest growth in the Asia-Pacific region. You'll want to be in the game as sales soar. Online business-to-business and business-to-consumer marketplaces offer virtual storefronts and a ready-made global army of shoppers. They also offer payment solutions, and you can choose a shipper that will take care of the required documentation for you. The shippers want to help make things easier too, and many offer international business advice, freight forwarding and customs brokerage services, cost calculators, and in some cases, financing. Plus, they'll pick up goods and documents from your back door and deliver them to almost any address in the world, and you can track everything on their website. Some e-commerce platforms will arrange to ship your goods to one or more of their fulfillment warehouses located in major commercial centers around the world. As items are sold and quickly shipped to buyers, you can restock the goods by sending larger quantities to the fulfillment centers, generally at less cost than shipping one item at a time from your place of business in the United States. If web-based marketing and sales are insufficient to meet your sales growth appetite, you can attend trade shows in the U.S., where buyers come from around the world to purchase U.S. goods and services. Show organizers will facilitate introductions to the buyers, working with agencies of the U.S. government to provide matchmaking services on the show floor. These same government agencies can arrange for you to attend shows in other countries, where the connections and influence of your embassy network can save you time and money generating new business. Government agencies can find buyers for you and arrange introductions in more than 100 countries. Call this service Customized Business Matchmaking. Channels can include direct to end user, distributors in your country, suppliers in the U.S. government in the foreign country, your e-commerce website, a third-party e-commerce platform where you handle fulfillment, a third-party e-commerce platform where they handle fulfillment, supplier to a large U.S. company with international sales, or franchise your business. You are not limited to one of these channels. Today's global trading system is ideal for the smaller company employing more than one marketing and sales channel to sell into multiple overseas markets. But most U.S. exporters currently sell to one country market, Canada, for example. And the smaller the company, the less likely it is to export to more than one country. For example, 60% of all exporters with fewer than 19 employees sold to one country market in 2005. Imagine the boost in the bottom line if they could double the number of countries they sell to. Section 2. Export strategies. If you are looking to export, you've probably asked yourself the question, is it worth all the effort? Exporting can be one of the best ways to grow your business. It can do the following: grow your bottom line, smooth your business cycles including seasonal differences, add management and intercultural expertise, use production capabilities fully, defend your domestic market, increase your competitiveness in all markets, increase the value of your intellectual property should you choose to license it, and increase the value of your business should you choose to sell it. With volume of trade growing exponentially and barriers to trade falling, competition in a company's domestic market is intensifying, particularly from foreign competitors. We need to compete in our own backyard while we simultaneously open markets for our products and services in other markets. 95% of the world's consumers live outside the United States. That's a lot of potential customers to ignore. Foreign competition is increasing domestically. To be truly competitive, companies must consider opening markets abroad. Exporting is profitable, and exporting helps businesses learn how to compete more successfully. According to the World Bank, global economic prospects, trade in goods and services is likely to more than triple by 2030. Over the same period, the global economy will probably expand from $35 trillion to $72 trillion. The number of people considered middle class will triple to 1.2 billion, enabling them to afford international travel, better education, and imported goods from the United States. Exports from the United States, according to the same report, are expected to grow by nearly 10% for the next several years. Your product or service could be among them. With this significant projected growth in global trade, fueled in large part by newly affluent consumers in China, India, and other developing economies, the challenge for businesses of all sizes in the United States is how to dip into this incredible revenue torrent. As global trade grows, companies that engage in it report a shift in income derived from their export sales compared with sales in their domestic markets. A study of U.S. exporters found that 60% of small companies in the survey derived 20% of annual earnings from exports, while 44% of medium-sized companies did. When asked whether export sales would grow at least 5% per year for the next 3 years, 77% of small companies and 83% of the medium-sized companies said that they would. Companies that have grown their business through exports produce an amazing array of products and services. They include conversational English modules that can be downloaded from cell phones, bicycle racing socks, an exercise machine, bolts, a fish food, garage doors, skylights, lightning deflectors, previously owned mining machinery, and a host of other interesting and useful products and services. Some of what's sold is unique, but most is not, relying on other factors such as superior customer service or marketing to close the deal. The businesses and business people behind them are excellent at business fundamentals and passionate about expanding globally. One business may have 40 employees, but sell to 60 different countries. Even companies that don't make anything are flourishing abroad. These companies make money by providing wholesale and distribution services. There are thousands of them, many of them small. Exporting adds to the knowledge and skills of everyone in a company who does it. Doing business in a market that's beyond one's borders can have a transformational effect on its practitioners. The experience of forming new relationships, getting up close and personal with another culture, figuring out how to meet the needs of others, and learning how to be inventive in addressing new business challenges not only is personally rewarding, it also leads to improvements in products and makes companies stronger in whatever market they compete. As one exporter interviewed for this guide put it, "Exporting is easier than we imagined. Exporting opens your horizons to what's going on in the world economy. We need to take that step outside of ourselves and develop relationships and open doors. It may start out small, it did for us, but it's growing. We are a better company and better managers, maybe even better persons. And to me, that's what success is all about." Section 3. Multiple markets. Why don't more small companies export to more than a single market? One reason is fear. It's not very fear-inducing to sell to a buyer in Canada, who seems not so far away, speaks the same language, and operates under a similar legal system. Croatia or Myanmar are perceived to be more risky, but are they? Many U.S. companies are doing good business there now. In general, their secret sauce boils down to careful planning, relying on assistance provided by government export promotion agencies, good basic business fundamentals including excellent customer service, and a willingness, if needed, to get on a plane to visit a prospective customer. The opportunity for selling into a single region such as Central America and taking advantage of free trade agreements is substantial. The help available and discussed in this guide can quickly expand your thinking and your sales from one market to many. In choosing from among these channels, markets, and countries, what's the best strategy for your business? There's help for that too, from private consultants from your home state and local U.S. government sources, and from the web. And much of the help is free or costs very little. It is easy to access and easy to use. Think of this help as your global entrepreneurship ecosystem. According to the world, is your market, exporting made easier for small businesses, your GEE, is a social network of key contacts that can help you grow your international sales. A GEE, for example, might consist of your local Chamber of Commerce, your local World Trade Center, a university with an international business department, some small business development centers, the U.S. Commercial Service, a bank with international experience, and your state's Office of International Trade, just to name a few. Social networking sites, such as LinkedIn, also have international trade groups and are worth considering. If what you've read so far comes as a surprise, particularly that exporting is relatively easy, as is expanding the markets you sell to from one to many, even for small businesses, and that there are scores of local yet worldly folks ready to help you succeed, then you are not alone. The people whom we interviewed for the case studies, like many potential exporters, say that their number one need for starting out was more basic information on how to export. The greatest information needs are how to choose the best markets for their products and services, and to meet people to purchase them. Access the link on this slide for a complete chart of global business assumptions. Success story: Defeat International. Shane Cooper is president of Defeat International, a maker of socks for cyclists. Over the years, despite substantial adversity, he has built a business that now includes distributors in 35 countries. Shane and his wife were bike racers back in the early 1990s. During summers, she was supplementing her income by racing bikes as an amateur, and, as Cooper puts it, he was spending her supplemental income as an amateur on his bike racing. His father was a sock knitting machine technician and sold the machine's parts. One day, Shane decided to make socks to pay for his bike racing hobby. It just kind of happened from there, he recalls. We made the world's best sock for cycling, and that was 20 years ago. Cooper's factory burned to the ground in 2006. There was no production for 9 months. Luckily, there was insurance, but it took a lawsuit and 3 years to get everything owed. And so, when he finally got the check, he had to pay taxes out of that money because it's considered business income. We had 7 years where we made no money after the fire, said Cooper. We became profitable again and started winning the business back. This was just in time for the Great Recession of 2008. Just when things were at their bleakest, people started pulling bikes down from garage rafters and riding them to save money. Bicycle shops became flush with cash, and the euro soared against the dollar. So all of a sudden, after 7 years of struggling, we made it through. And now we're 4 years in with profits again. If we didn't have our international business, gosh, I don't think we would have made it. Of course, the international business made the difference, but it didn't happen spontaneously. Cooper hired an international marketing manager who developed a go-to-market strategy for Europe, which included a web presence and a network of distributors. This allowed Cooper to focus on the research and development side of the business, which included socks made of fibers extruded from recycled plastic bottles. Cooper elected to keep production in the United States, mainly because of worries that making socks in Asia would involve environmental quality issues and loss of control over intellectual property. He said, "American made to me is control. It's American jobs, it's quality, and mostly it's value." By listening to his European customers, including some of the top riders in Italy and France, Cooper was able to create and continues to create socks that fans of the champions want to buy. What he learns is his secret sauce. He also relies on his local U.S. Commercial Service office to advise Defeat on tariffs and duties, and about the 20 or so free trade agreements the United States has with other countries. The U.S. Commercial Service also has extensive knowledge about international textile agreements and how his products are affected. "I'm always looking for low cost, but accurate expert advice, especially from government sources," he said. "You've got to remember, I was a dumb bike racer, and a bad one at that. I wasn't a businessman." Cooper also learned that success hinges on figuring out early what your strengths are. If you don't have the skills or time to devote to the international side of the business, hire someone who can. If you have an export-ready service or product, contact your local U.S. Commercial Service office. If you are just starting a business or thinking about starting one, contact your local Small Business Development Center, of which there are more than 900 in the United States. Many of the centers have a certified export counselor. For more information, please visit the link on the slide. A special thanks to the U.S. Commercial Service for the content of this module. This slide will take you to current news headlines on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You may have to enable pop-ups in your browser. You can advance through the remainder of the slides by clicking the play button. Global Edge offers a number of resources on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You may have to enable pop-ups in your browser. This slide concludes this module.